Well, today we have a special guest that's been a friend of the ministry for a long time. And it's always good to have Wendell and Joan Calder come. And Wendell's been coming to speak for us once a year forever. I don't remember when he wasn't here once a year. And it's always a pleasure to have him. And I really can think of nobody that would represent our church, Christ, and our country more than Dr. Wendell Calder. So would you welcome him today as he comes to share the word with us?
I made it. Thank you so much, Pastor. Good morning, everybody. Wow, whole world's here. It's a great joy and privilege for my wife, Joan, and myself to be here again. Always used to come in the month of December. And every year was the biggest snowstorm of the year. And so Pastor Meg got in touch and he said, let's change it to November. So we changed it to November in the first year, the biggest snowstorm Maine ever had in November. We had on that Sunday, he was over in the foreign mission field somewhere, I don't know. So he believes that I caused it. But it is a joy to be on the, I guess you'd call it probably the Welcome Center, where the window is there and there's some stuff on the counter. I placed some copies of a newsletter hot off the press, okay? Some newsletter has some information on our family, our ministry. Inside is a scheduled prayer card, has our schedule on it actually for the last 6 months of this year. My wife and I are now officially Floridians. We moved to Florida in December of 2022. Our family all live in Florida. And we left Florida on June 6th to come up here to get out of the heat. And we'd been here 3 days and it was 100 degrees. And so I guess we brought that with us too. But it's always a joy to be here and a joy to share the word of God. Pick up a copy of the newsletter if you would. Let's pause in just a moment of prayer. Father, might it please you this morning to speak to our hearts through thy word. Lord, may our ears be tuned to hear what you have to say. May our minds be open to grasp it, to understand it. May our hearts be open to receive it. But above all, may our wills be submitted to obey it. We love you. In Christ's name, amen. This morning, I'm sharing a message entitled Truth or Consequences. In 1940, on radio, there appeared a game show entitled Truth or Consequences. In 1950, it became the very first game show to ever appear on television. But Truth or Consequences is not just in a game show. And I have a statement that basically I'm going to base the entire message on. I'll give you that statement right now. We have the freedom to choose our paths, P-A-T-H-S, in life. We do not have the freedom to choose the consequences. Listen to that again. We have the freedom to choose our paths in life. We do not have the freedom to choose the consequences. I looked up the word truth, because in John chapter 8, okay, in verse 32, the Bible says, if you know the truth will make you free. We talk about freedom. This is the period of time in our nation when we celebrate it. And sad to say, it seems so in recent years, there are many who'd like to take that away. And so as we do that, remember, we have freedom as a people in the United States of America. We still have it. Thank God for it. Thank God for our founding fathers. But the real freedom is found in Jesus Christ. In John 8, 32, if you know the truth will make you free. But if you get down to verse 36 of John 8, it says, if the Son therefore makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So as a Christian, we not only have freedom, we got indeed freedom, which is a step higher, okay? And so I want to just read a couple of statements from some people of a year or two ago, okay? This one is Peter Marshall. May we think of freedom not as the right to do as we please, but as the opportunity to do what is right. Here's Abraham Lincoln. Those who deny freedom to others deserve it not for themselves. Here's John Adams, the time of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail, I stand behind this Declaration of Independence, and if God wills it, I'm ready to die in order that this country might experience freedom. Patrick Henry, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. I looked up the word truth. I always enjoy looking up words in Webster's dictionary because he always says, see this word and see this word, and before you're done, you've gone through the entire dictionary. So I looked up the word truth, and here's what it said. It said the word truth basically means facts, accuracy, honesty, credibility, reality, correctness. That's several good definitions. Then I looked up the word consequences. It's the result of an action. It's the outcome of something occurring earlier. It's a result that happens. It's what you sow is what you reap. Truth or consequences. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus speaking. He opened that chapter by saying, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, so many mansions were not so, would have told you, etc. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you go. How should we know the way? So Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way. Please say the next two words with me. The truth. That wasn't too bad. Let's try it again. I'll get the first part, and then you add those two. I am the way, truth, and the life. Okay? No man comes to the Father what? But by me. So, the Savior is truth. Therefore, if you're going to know real freedom, not just freedom as a people and a nation, but freedom as we stand before Almighty God, it comes only as a result of truth. And if you know the truth will make you free. Seems to me today, I may be way off base here. If I am, you can tell me afterwards. But it seems to me we're living in an hour when lying's almost become a way of life. I mean, thank God it hasn't reached the high offices of our land. But just thought you might get that. But when the Bible, when Jesus said, I am the truth. In that chapter in John 8, where he said, if you know the truth will make you free. If the Son therefore makes you free, you'll be free indeed. The opening part of that chapter, they brought a lady, put her in the presence of the Lord Jesus, who'd been caught in the act of adultery. They said, Moses in the law said she ought to be stoned. What do you say? And as you know, Jesus stooped down, he wrote on the ground. And then he did it a second time. Then he said to them in the course of the whole situation, anyone without sin among you, you go ahead and throw the first rock. How many rocks were thrown? None. Then just Jesus and the woman were left standing there. And he said, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned you? And here's what she said. No man, Lord. And the Bible says you cannot really call him Lord, save by the Holy Ghost. And I believe at that moment, that lady put her faith, trust in Jesus Christ. Then Jesus said, if no man condemned you, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. One of the great ways that John in his gospel describes our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and by the way, the key verse in John's gospel, chapter 20, verse 31, it's interesting, the key verse would be almost the end of the book, but 99% of all teachers and preachers would use this as the key verse of the Gospel of John. On many books of the Bible, we all disagree on what might be the key verse because different people select a different viewpoint. But in this one, here's what it said. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And in the Gospel of John, John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, uses two unique methods to present Jesus as the truth and as the Son of God and as the only Savior. Number one, he does it by recording some of his miracles. They're referred to as signs in the Gospel of John. He gave the changing of the water into wine at the wedding in Cana, the healing of a nobleman's son, the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus walking on the water, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, giving sight to a man born blind, and then you get over to chapter 11, and he raises Lazarus from the dead. Remember what Nicodemus said when he came to Jesus? He said, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles except God be with him. So those miracles, those signs, proved that he is the Christ, the Savior, the truth. But then here's the second method. And the second method is generally referred to as the I ams of the Gospel of John. And here they are. John 6:35, I am the Word of Life. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. John 10:9, I am the door. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. Then John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And John 15:1, I am the true vine. Those are the seven I ams of the Gospel of John, but I like to be different, so I say there are eight. And the eighth one is in that chapter, John 8, where he talks about freedom, and it's in 8:58. And here's what it says. Before Abraham was, I am. You don't need to add bread. You don't need to add light. You don't need to add way, truth, and the life. You don't need to add the resurrection and the life. Just I am. So if you want to describe the Son of God, just simply this, I am. Remember Moses when God called him? You might not have been there that day, but you remember reading it. You remember when God called Moses at the burning bush? Moses said, who am I going to tell him sent me? He said, just tell him, I am, has sent you. And if you study the context of John chapter 8, you will find that the I am, number one there, he's the I am of forgiveness. He said to the woman, neither do I condemn you. But he's also the I am of freedom, because he said, if you know the truth will make you free. He's also the I am of faithfulness, because in verse 29 of John 8, he said, I do always those things that please my Father. So let's think for just a moment. Jesus, the Savior, is the truth. So what that really says is this. If you don't know the Savior, then you don't know truth. And if you don't know truth, you don't know what true freedom is. But I've got exciting news for you today. You can know the Savior. And if you do know him, you know him personally. Absolutely sure, if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Say amen. Amen. Pathetic. Let's try it again. If you're saved, you know him, and absolutely sure, if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Say amen.
Amen.
God bless you. I'm glad you're here. Folks, it's 4th of July. 4th of July went by, but this is the celebration weekend, right? So we need to be alive, okay? So he is the truth. The Savior is truth. He's the only sacrifice for sin. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. I intentionally left out part of the verse. Now I'll put it in. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Here's the rest of it. That he might bring us to God. Ladies and gentlemen, young people, the only one who can take the hand of a holy God and the hand of a helpless sinner and reconcile God and the sinner is Jesus Christ, and he did it at the cross 2,000 years ago. So thank God. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand. So thank God the price has already been paid. He's the only Savior from sin, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Truth or consequences. The Savior is truth. Number two, over in John's, how many points have you got? 4th of July weekend, I always have 21. But they're going to eat it. Would you say 12:15? He's warned me three times what time to get done. Okay? And they don't even have a clock up there, so how am I going to know? I mean, I have a Mickey Mouse watch and his hands like that, so you can't really tell. Number two is in John 16, verse 13. John 16:13 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. You got it? The Savior's truth. Number two, the Spirit's truth. And then the Bible says, now if you know the truth will make you free. The Savior's truth. So if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And now the Spirit's truth. So you see, when Jesus was here on earth, he said to his disciples, I'm going to leave you. I'm going away. But he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And then he said this, when he's come, he's not going to talk about himself. He's coming to represent me. God the Father wrapped all eternity in his Son, Jesus Christ. So anytime you hear constantly the Holy Spirit this, the Holy Spirit that, remember this, the Holy Spirit's in the world, okay? Number one, to glorify the Savior. He's here. That's what Jesus said. He shall not speak of himself. He shall glorify me. So those who said amen to the fact that you know him as Savior, the day that you were saved, the day you were born again, and by the way, if you are saved, you ought to know when it happened, where you were, and it happened, and how it happened. And there ought to be some evidence that it did happen. Okay? But with relation to that, that moment when you trusted him, God, the Holy Spirit, took up his abode in your life. So what that means is this, 24/7, you've got deity living within. That means where you go, he goes. What you do, he's there. What you say, he's present. Psalmist said, thou God seest me. So not only is the Savior truth, the Spirit's truth. The Holy Spirit of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three distinct individuals, yet one. Not only did you come to glorify the Savior, says here he came to guide the saints. Aren't you glad we have living within 24/7 the Holy Spirit of God to guide us, to make right choices, to make right decisions, to go in the right direction, to do that which is acceptable, pleasing, and honoring unto God? Remember, if you know the truth will make you free. And if the Son therefore makes you free, you shall be free indeed. But now the Spirit not only is here to glorify the Savior and to guide the saint, he also grieves for the sinner. Because you notice what it says in the context? When he's come, he'll reprove, he'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That first word, sin. You know, sin by any other name is still sin. You can give it all the fancy titles you want to give it. So what really is sin? Probably the most simplistic definition or explanation of sin I've ever heard is Dr. Louis Sperry Schaeffer's. He simply said this. He said, if you was to just bring it down to one simple statement, he said, sin is anything comes short of the character of Almighty God. Sin is anything that comes short of the character of Almighty God. Now, you don't need to raise a hand. You don't need to visibly answer, verbally answer, visibly show. But how many of us here today at Cross Point Church, okay, at some time or other in our life have come short of the character of Almighty God? Well, I don't want you to answer. You don't need to answer. I'll just help you. The person sitting in your seat is one of them. Some of you looking around saying, who's in my seat? Because the Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have what? Sinned and come. Now, some of us may have come more short than others, but we've all come short. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, that same chapter, there's none righteous, no, not one. Way back in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. So there is a sinner sitting in your seat right now, and there's one standing behind this podium. I think I'm the only one that uses this podium. They figured at my age I needed to help me stand up. Okay? And there's a sinner standing behind this podium today. But thank God you can be a sinner saved by grace. But remember this, truth or consequences. There's a consequence if you reject the truth. He grieves for the sinner. He shall judge, convict the sinner of sin, of righteousness. I love 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, God made Jesus Christ to be sin for Wendell Calder, who knew no sin, so that Wendell Calder could be made righteous in the sight of Almighty God. Wow. The day I found out that I could give him my sin, he gave me his righteousness, and the payment was already made, I said, that's a good bargain, I'll take it. And that's what salvation's all about. And again, the only one that can take the hand of a holy God, the hand of a helpless sinner, and reconcile God and the sinner is Jesus Christ. Truth or consequences? The Savior's truth, the Spirit's truth. Go over to John chapter 17. John 17 is our prayer of our Savior just before the cross. Probably just hours before the cross, could have even been just minutes before the cross. I believe he prayed this prayer out loud in the presence of his disciples. If you want to disagree with that and be wrong, that's no problem with me. I'll straighten you out in the rapture. In this prayer in John 17, it's divided into three sections, okay? Number one, Jesus prays about the relationship between himself and his heavenly Father. He opens the prayer this way, Father, the hour is come. Starting way back in chapter 2 of John, my hour has not come. Chapter 7, my hour has not come. Chapter 8, my hour has not come. Chapter 12, my hour has not come. Now we get to 17, Jesus said the hour is here. What hour is he talking about? Of course, he's talking about the hour of the cross. He'd been telling his disciples for 3 years, I'm going to leave them, but they, like we are sometimes, a little slow in getting it. They didn't fully understand. So now he said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify thou me, basically with the glory that I had with you before the world was. So in the first few verses, it's a relationship between Jesus and the Father. In the second part of that prayer, he prays for himself and the disciples who are there with him. Then, in the last part of that prayer, he prays for you. He prays for me. You say, how could he pray for us way back there? I wasn't even born. He said, Father, I not only pray for these, but for those who shall believe on me through them. So therefore, as a result of the witness of the disciples, been passed down through the ages, in that prayer, he's praying for you and me. And you know what his prayer is? His prayer is basically this, that we all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in you, that we all may be one. He wanted Christians to be one. And that one, by the way, is in Christ. That oneness is in him. Then, he said, when we are one in Christ, two things will happen. The world will know who I am and the world will believe. Wow. In other words, if we could get the fulfillment of that in the body of Christ today, what an impact it would make upon a godless world that so desperately needs our Savior. And never forget this. Jesus Christ was, he is, and he always will be the friend of sinners. He never was, he is not, and he never shall be the friend of sin. You can love the sinner and hate the sin. And so, John 17, 17. In that prayer, here's what he says. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, 14, 6, the Savior's truth. 16, 13, the Spirit's truth. Now, 17, 17, the Scripture's truth. And if you know the truth, it'll do what? Make you free. And if the Son therefore makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So it's either truth or consequences. And I'll get to the consequences, don't worry. And I'll get there before 12 o'clock. Because Pastor said he's coming up at 2 minutes to 12. I'm just quoting him. No. So the Scripture's truth. Ladies and gentlemen, let me get everything laid out here, okay? I hold in my hand today the most precious book in all the world. See, there are a lot of men make books. This book makes men. This prophecy didn't come by the will of man. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Philosophers have tried to explain it away. Dictators have tried to throw it out, but it still stands as the number one seller in the markets of the world. You know why? This is not man's book, this is God's book. 2 Timothy 3, 15, Paul says to Timothy, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto faith and salvation in Jesus Christ. Then he says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed it. That means God spoke it. And it's profitable. For what? Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man or woman of God may be perfected, mature, fully furnished unto all good works. I'm not saved by my works, I'm saved by his work, but his work works. So therefore, my friend, when I place my personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the proof of that are the works that take place day by day. So the scripture is truth. Think about it. Inspiration. God gave it. Revelation. How he gave it. 40 authors over a period of 1500 to 1600 years, educated and uneducated, from a variety of backgrounds. You put it all together, and as the dear black preacher said, there's not a contradiction from generations to revolutions. This has got to be the infallible, the inerrant, the eternal word of the living God. And this Bible is powerful, powerful. I'll tell you how powerful it is. It's powerful enough to produce the new birth. You know you can't be saved apart from this book. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing. Help me finish it. And hearing by the word of God. John 5, 24. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. I'll tell you how powerful it is. Listen to 1 Peter 1, 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And Christian, if you know him, you're saved, you're born again, please, please, don't neglect this book. Do you spend time in it every day? Yeah, I said every day. Do you know that 15 minutes a day, you can read, average reader can read this Bible through 2 times in a year? I'm on my 14th time through the Bible, trying that 15-minute plan that I introduced a few years ago. And in 2 more days, I'll finish the book of Revelation, which is the New Testament, and then I'll go to the Old. 15 minutes a day, you can read it completely through. Let's say you're a real slow reader. You can read it through one time. You say, well, I have trouble reading. Get it on recording. People have recorded the entire Bible. Some of them have got excellent, captivating voices as they give you the Word of God. You can't grow. You can't mature unless you spend time in the book. Okay? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's powerful. Powerful enough to produce the new birth. But also it's practical. I'll tell you how practical it is. It produces new behavior. This Bible changes lives. I've seen my God take some unlikely specimens, breaking the new tongue, folks. I've seen my God take some unlikely specimens of humanity, put heaven's touch upon them, save them by his grace, and then empower them with a precious book. James 1, 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. If you're just a hearer, not a doer, it says you're deceiving somebody. Who is he deceiving? You're sure not fooling anybody else. You're sure not fooling God. There's only one person left. You're deceiving yourself. There's no greater deception than self-deception. And then James 2, 12 says, so speak and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. So the final evaluation is going to be not what you think or I think, not what some theologian said. What does God's word say? Truth or consequences? The Savior's truth, the Spirit's truth, the Scripture's truth. And if you know the truth will what? Make you free. That's real freedom. Now, truth or consequences? Okay. Let's say I don't accept Jesus as the truth. I don't accept the Spirit as truth. I don't accept the Scripture as truth. What's the consequence? Very simple. Listen carefully. It's an eternity in hell, separated from God forever. Because the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Okay? That's eternal death. That's what the Bible calls the second death. It's not eternal annihilation, it's eternal separation. I have people say to me, well, I may be going to hell, but I'll have a lot of company. If that's your idea of company, it's not mine. And I can tell you about a guy who went, he didn't think it was company, because he said, would you please send someone to warn my five brothers, lest they come here too? So you see, you have the freedom to make your choices. You do not have the freedom to choose the consequences. What's the consequence if I accept the truth, Jesus Christ? Sins forgiven, soul saved, past wiped out, home in heaven forever, and the Spirit of God to live within, and the Bible is a roadmap. Wow. What's the consequences if I reject it, if I neglect it, if I turn it aside to hear him say, sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. If Jesus were to come today, or to call you out of this old world, are you ready? If so, live for him, honor him, share him with others. If you're not ready, listen carefully. Please get ready before you leave this auditorium. And Pastor is going to come and tell you how to do it. Can we have everybody bowing in prayer, please?
As we dim the lights for just a couple of minutes before we leave this morning, Pastor Wendell did a great job of laying out for us the importance of knowing Christ as our Savior. He made it very clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and Jesus came 2,000 years ago. And why did he come? He came to live a life of perfection. You heard that he did miracles to authenticate that, in fact, he was the Son of God. He lived a life without sin. The Bible says there was no guile found in him. And on the cross, after a perfect life, he took upon himself my sin and your sin, our sin, the sins of the world, past, present, and future. And all of us, if we look inward in our own lives, we will see that there are things within us that separates us from God because we are not perfect. We've all lied, we've stolen, we've cheated. We've broken all of the Ten Commandments. And Jesus said, I've come that I might give you eternal life if you look and put your faith and trust in me. Because you see, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit for all eternity have been in a place that is perfect where sin does not dwell. And you and I cannot get to heaven because we are sinners. We can't do that on our own. We are blocked. But we can go to heaven because Jesus Christ offered himself, who was God himself, who was perfect, a perfect sacrifice that God the Father would accept. I can't die for you and get you to heaven. I can die for you, but it's not going to do you any good because I'm not perfect. I'm not God, but Jesus was. And if we would admit that we are a sinner, and I know for some people that's very, very difficult to do. But today we want you to be honest and cry out to God and admit that you're a sinner, that you're not good enough. There's nothing you could do to get you into heaven. And that you need someone who's offered a sacrifice acceptable to God the Father so you could enter in into a perfect place, a place called heaven for all eternity. And that's why Jesus came. You see, there's one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ, who offers himself as a sacrifice for you and me. And you say, Jerry, I admit I am a sinner. Yes, without any question, I'm a sinner. And Jerry, I'm willing to cry out by faith, believing that Jesus Christ God's Son, came to die for me, and I want to put my faith and trust in Him, and I want to ask Him to come into my life and to forgive me of my sin. And if you're willing to do that today, we want to pray with you. On the screen, we have a prayer. The prayer itself will not save you. This is a template. True salvation comes from being genuine and sincere in our prayer and then living out a life that glorifies God. And so I want to pray out loud this morning, and you can pray quietly in your heart. And today you can leave not only as a free American, which is wonderful, but far more important, you can leave as someone who has experienced spiritual freedom, that you are free from the bondage of your sin. Yes, we all will sin again, but we are not held in bondage in the sense that we can no longer access God. And so if you are content and ready and genuine today to receive Christ, as I pray out loud, you pray quietly in your heart. Dear Jesus, I know that you are the Savior of the world who left heaven to come to earth, to die on a cross for me. I believe that you are God. I believe that after you died on the cross, that you were buried, and then on the third day you rose from the dead, showing that you conquered death, sin, hell, and the grave. And right now, I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of all my sin. Come into my heart, come into my life, and save my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me for all eternity. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one's going to come to you. No one's going to call out your name this morning. No one is going to embarrass you. But I wonder this morning, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time and you've trusted now Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you do me a favor? Would you just lift up your hand as a testimony to Christ? Would you just lift up your hand all over the auditorium? Thank you so very, very much. You can put it down. And after the service this morning, if you would connect with one of our pastors, text us, email us, let us know. Say, hey, I prayed that prayer. I trusted Christ as my Savior. We want to meet with you and help you to grow and give you materials and spend time with you and to make sure that you begin your walk in Christ where you can grow and be a productive part, if not our church, another church, but a productive Christian that is growing in Christ. Father, thank you for this wonderful message. And Lord, we pray for those that made decisions today. We ask God that they would follow these decisions up, that they would be willing to grow and learn more about Jesus and become the Christian that you want them to become, that they might serve you all the days of their life. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.